the essential antioxidants into your body from a whole food. And that's what this is, except it's four different series of whole foods. Over, I'm guessing, about 80 different nutrients from food sources going near into your body. You'd never be able to eat that in a day. You wouldn't eat that in a month. I'm willing to bet that the fruit alone that's in the red stuff, in a year, you won't eat half of that. So I just put it all together. So every morning, you get it all. So no matter what else you do that day, if you drink your coffee or have your bagel, which you shouldn't, but if you do, at least you've done something that really honors your health. How smart is that? Now, I don't know of the people I counseled that day, all day, nonstop. There wasn't a single break. I don't know how many of them went on to make changes. I don't know how many of them just listened and, you know, were entertained by the ideas. But I do know that they didn't get sick by accident. It was negligence and indifference to the power of nutrients going in. So I live in the area of power of nutrients. Mm-hmm. That's where I live. That's my home. And that's where I've been for 45 years of sharing this insight. So, Michael G., we're at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. One last call out for $250. They're going to get $585 value. They're saving $335 in value. This is the lowest cost premium for the most premium in BAI's history. I don't know of anything else they could get or have gotten that would give them so much for their health and so much good, so much that could help them for so little money. Over to you.
That's right, Gary. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. The calls are coming in now at 516-620-3602. It's 516-620-3602 for Gary Knowles.
Children, this is Reverend Billy from the Church of Stop Shopping. You're listening to WBAI FM 99.5, New York City. It's listener-sponsored, children. It's commercial-free. Ooh, change-a-looyah.
Greetings and welcome once more to 5 O'Clock Shadow. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and you are tuned to WBAI Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 megahertz, or perhaps you're streaming at WBAI.org. And today, as part of our May fundraising drive, we have something very special, important, and vital to your health. It is brand new. It was just finalized overnight. Unique video of what I think is the most important medical conference to happen here so far this year. It is a symposium that was held a day and a half ago, overnight, at the Cooper Union inside the Great Hall, where we had the honor of hosting a mayoral forum just about a week or so before. And this symposium, from a wide-ranging group of environmental organizations and health professionals, was titled Lung Cancer and New York City Kitchens. Here's what's happening. The issue of fracking, hydrofracking, extraction of gas in New York State, in Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and environs, New Jersey, raises the very real prospect of heightened levels of radon gas, radioactive gas, that would be in your cooking systems and would increase that exposure and have an exponential effect on the risk of cancer throughout this metropolitan region and environs. That is a panel that was graced with the presence of, quite a number of people, including the State Assembly member, Linda Rosenthal, Albert Appleton, the former commissioner of the New York City Department of Environmental Protection, Sheila Bushkin-Bediant, doctor with the Institute for Health and the Environment at the University of Albany, Jeff Zimmerman, public interest attorney and radon expert, and many others. And we are making this unique video produced for WBAI and recorded by the great documentary filmmaker Joe Friendly. is available to you for a tax-deductible pledge of $75 during the course of this program. So we advise you to get your pledges in early at 516-620-3602. Once more, that's 516-620-3602, because you need a public interest radio station. And I'm very proud to have another representative of public interest here now with us live from Food and Water Watch. We're now joined live by Eric Weltman. Welcome to 5 O'Clock Shadow, Eric.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate Food and Water Watch having the opportunity to talk with you this evening.
Well, you all have been doing great work on the issue of fracking and other environmental and culinary safeguards. But I'm so impressed by the content, the seriousness, the sharpness of this panel. Why don't you tell us a bit of context about it?
Sure. Well, Food and Water Watch and our allies in New York Against Fracking thought it was extraordinarily imperative that we bring to light this particular risk associated with fracking, which, again, as you mentioned, was exposure to a radon in natural gas from fracked regions such as the Marcellus in Pennsylvania and potentially, or hopefully not, New York. Radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. The leading cause of lung cancer after smoking. And so, we thought it was imperative that we raise this issue and that we send a message to Governor Cuomo, as well as Mayor Bloomberg, as well as our legislators and city council members, that this is a risk of fracking, yet another risk of fracking, to add the myriad of other risks from polluted groundwater to climate change, and yet another reason why we need to keep fracking out of New York. And so, as you mentioned, we had an illustrious list of public health experts, doctors, even a chef, talking about the risks of exposure to radon in natural gas.
Well, one of the things that defenders of this process would say, well, there's already radon out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the issue is that the Marcellus region is unnaturally high in radon, extraordinarily high in radon, and hence Al Appleton, who, as you mentioned, is the former commissioner of Department of Environmental Protection, the one who was charged with keeping our water safe, has deemed this a potential public health crisis. And so we obviously wanted to use this opportunity to produce this form. And we're very pleased, by the way, very pleased that WABAI was present and is making the film of the event available to its contributors. I do want to say we Food and Water Watch and New Yorkers Against Fracking are very much value the service that WBAI provides to our community. So we do likewise want to encourage people to take advantage of the opportunity to see this extraordinarily important forum that we held a couple nights ago.
Well, together, it's a process of saving minds and preserving health, whether it be mental, physical, or radiological. And so very proud to have you with us. As we speak, there seems to be uncertainty coming from Albany as to whether or not the governor will finally pull the trigger on this issue of fracking in New York State. Where does that stand?
Well, that's a very good question. For months now, we heard that the Cuomo administration would be finalizing its health review in a couple weeks, in a few weeks, and we heard that for months. And finally, they've concluded or announced that there's no timeline for making a decision. Now, that's not to say that they've decided not to allow fracking. We have a window of opportunity, and we at Food and Water Watch and New Yorkers Against Fracking are doing our utmost to take advantage of that window of opportunity, including holding a major rally on Monday, June 17th. We're going to be having buses from Manhattan, from Queens, from Brooklyn, from Long Island, from Westchester County. So, again, we are taking advantage of this window of opportunity to maintain the pressure on Governor Cuomo, as well as we've been mentioning, raise the issues around radon exposure to New York City residents, around climate change, the threats to our water, the threats to worker health and safety. And I do want to, if I could, just highlight that one of the great things about the forum Tuesday evening was we had representatives from NICOSH, that's New York Committee on Occupational Safety and Health. We had a chef, as I mentioned, Heather Carlucci, who's associated with a group called Chefs for the Marcellus. So we're really highlighting the occupational exposures, the occupational risks. Fracking is a worker health and safety issue. And so it's great to have the opportunity to highlight that particular risk and threat.
One of the things that is breathtaking in terms of the irresponsibility of regulators and the influence that the industry may have on politicians is the period of latency. I learned so much from this conference. And what decisions are made today, it seems, bear the very tangible risk of mushrooming an escalation of cancers and the concomitant expenses for medical care and so many other things. And it seems that people can make decisions blithely while hiding the ultimate consequences. What do you think of that?
I'd say that analysis is absolutely on point. You know, there's a term in economics called, you know, externalities, and it's the way that, you know, corporations often try to, you know, privatize, you know, the gains to be made, the profits to be made, while making the public bear the responsibility for any costs, any risks, any threats. And I think this is clearly, as you well noted, an example of that. And this is why, you know, in addition to our efforts to, you know, ban fracking in New York, which, you know, Food and Water Watch and our allies and New Yorkers Against Fracking are very much involved with, we're very grateful for the leadership of Assemblywoman Linda Rosenthal, who, as you noted, you know, did participate in the forum Tuesday evening. She's been a tremendous ally. Assemblywoman Linda Rosenthal has been a tremendous ally in the fight against fracking. She did also introduce legislation, which we're backing, that would require the monitoring of levels of radon in natural gas. Again, this is what happened Tuesday evening was, you know, Food and Water Watch and all of our allies and New Yorkers Against Fracking, you know, raised a new issue. And again, we're grateful to BAI for helping, you know, promote this. You know, there's been a lot of talk in recent years about how fracking could poison our water, contaminate our air, contribute to climate change. What we learned Tuesday evening from a wonderful panel of public health experts and scientists and lawyers and other professionals is that radon is a tremendous threat. Radon from frack gas is a tremendous threat, particularly to New York City residents who, as you're probably well aware, you know, have a lot, you know, natural gas stoves, tend to live in small apartments with little to no ventilation. It's a particular threat for children who, you know, take in more air in proportion to their body weight. Their immune systems aren't, you know, very well developed. So our children really are very much at risk from radon in natural gas, which is why, you know, Food and Water Watch and New Yorkers Against Fracking are urging Governor Cuomo not to allow fracking in New York. But we're also supporting Assemblywoman Linda Rosenthal's legislation as well.
The spirit was invoked of one of the late great environmentalists, Barry Commoner. And in much of a kindred spirit, another academic by the name of John Gottman was fond of saying in regard to nuclear power plant operations that the knowable release of fissile ions or isotopes into the environment, he used a very striking term. He called it, quote, random premeditated murder, end quote. And
I've heard Lois Gibbs use that kind of phrasing and terminology as well.
And one of the things that we'll hear and learn during the course of today's program is how that interacts with the environmental toxins, the smoking or environmental smoke or automobile pollution, and these things can cascade into a much higher level of risk. And beyond cancer.
So it sounds like you're talking about synergistic impacts and additive impacts. Absolutely. I mean, it was noted, by the way, that smokers are at heightened risk of lung cancer as a consequence of exposure to radon.
Well, in New York City, pretty much everyone is a smoker, whether they want to be or not. If you take into account the massive amount of particulates that are emitted by the automobiles, the traffic jams, and so many other things. Well, I would like to ask you, are there other risks that might be attended upon people in particularly in the city, in regards to the transport of these gases of
the fracking extraction? Food and Water Watch works very closely with a couple of extraordinary grassroots organizations, Occupy the Pipeline, Insane Energy Project. I do want to single them out for a tip of the hat, so to speak. Insane Energy Project and Occupy the Pipeline have done extraordinary, wonderful, amazing, laudatory work, as well as Unite for Action, another close ally of ours. All three of those organizations contributed immensely to the forum Tuesday evening and to the success of the event. They've also done a great job, again, Unite for Action, Sane Energy Project, Occupy the Pipeline, of raising awareness around the raft of pipelines and associated infrastructure that being brought into the city. I mean, one thing that an overarching theme that's worth noting is that the industry talks about natural gas being a quote-unquote bridge fuel. Well, folks, they're sinking billions, and I do mean billions and billions and billions of dollars into pipelines, into compressor stations, into a ton of infrastructure that they're not going to walk away from, or they're not going to walk away from at any point. And so we need to really recognize the incredible link between building all these pipelines, building all these export facilities. A lot of the gas we need to understand being produced is for purposes of export to China, to India. And so, yes, there are extraordinary risks associated with these pipelines, from explosions to the leaks of methane and radon. We also need to understand that the construction of these pipelines are part of the build-out in support of fracking. And so even as we fight these pipelines on their own merits, we also appreciate the connection between the construction of these pipelines and the efforts to open up New York to fracking.
Well, tell us one more time about the significance and how people might get involved with the major action on the 17th of June.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you asked. Again, Monday, June 17th, we're having a rally up in Albany. It's called New York Crossroads. New York Crossroads. And we're going to be highlighting the choice that we have. It's a choice that New Yorkers, including Governor Cuomo, have to make about what kind of energy path we pursue, whether it's maintaining our reliance on dirty old fossil fuels like natural gas, or whether we transition to a clean energy, renewable energy future. And obviously, we're going to show up in full force on June 17th and show Governor Cuomo what choice we New Yorkers have made, and we hope that he makes the same one. We are going to be having buses from Manhattan, from Queens, from Brooklyn, from Long Island, from Westchester County, as well as throughout the region. And we encourage people to go to the Food and Water Watch website, to go to the New Yorkers Against Fracking website, and find out more information and get involved and join us in Albany on June 17th.
Well, thank you, Eric Weltman. Eric is with Food and Water Watch, and they can be contacted at fwwatch.org. And Eric, please give my regards to Seth Gladstone and all of the other folks over there. You're doing great work.
I certainly will. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow, a special edition with a brand new, unique to WBAI video recorded just Tuesday night by the archivist and documentarian Joe Friendly. Our video team went there to make sure now that you have, hot off the press, the most important medical conference in New York City that could affect all of us in ways that are not immediately evident. We are offering you the more than 2 hours of well-crafted videographic material, the proceedings of this conference. And as we prepare to share some samples with you, I hope that those of you who are really concerned about health and the environment will already start calling us at 516-620-3602. WBAI. That's our pledge line, 516-620-3602. And tell them that you want this hot video on lung cancer and New York City kitchens, brought together by a wide coalition of health specialists and environmentalists. And please keep those calls coming at 516-620-3602. And I'd like to give you a bit of a sample of the breathtaking depth and gravitas and importance of this conference and this video. And I, if you are able, get order two copies so that you can send one to your council member, to your assembly member, so you can have folks over to really get an idea about the hidden danger that industry is bringing to us all collectively. This is WBAI. I'm Robert Knight here with Michael G. Haskins. And for $75, video of the Lung Cancer and New York City Kitchens Health Conference held just Tuesday night at the Cooper Union down at the Great Hall near Astor Place. And to help you understand why you need this education so that you can mobilize for health, the conference is divided into two themes. One of them is what is wrong with the fracking and the radon and the consequences. And the other part is what is to be done. So you get both a schooling and a solution. So please call us at 516-620-3602. And we begin with this from Sheila Bushkin-Bediant. She is a health expert speaking about the etiology of exposure to radon. She's with the Health and Environment Department, or Institute, at the University of Albany. And hold on to your seats, because this is going to be a stunner about the risks you did not know that you were facing because of gubernatorial inaction and industry pressure.
First of all, how does radon get into our homes? Two ways. One, as a normally occurring radioactive material, and we've kind of nicknamed it NORM, radon seeps into foundation cracks, the foundation of your home, through walls and through water pipes. And this contributes to background radiation, to which we are all already exposed every day. A certain number of picocuries or picocuries that we consider background and that no one has ever really classified for us as how safe it is or isn't. The second way is as a component of natural gas. Radon can enter our homes as a component of natural gas because radon is a part of natural gas, and it's intentionally delivered into our homes for gas stoves and gas heaters. So current supplies of natural gas have low levels of radon because the radon has traveled long distances, usually from Louisiana and Texas, as Jeff has already told you. And in that period of time, the radon has been able to begin to decay, so it's less radioactive by the time it gets to New York. I'm going to just mention briefly one group of the radon progeny. And I guess as a woman, you know, I think women don't like to be thought of as radon daughters. It sounds kind of evil. So, you know, science has renamed it radon progeny. And the 210 class includes lead, bismuth, and polonium-210. Lead actually does have beta decay, but also alpha decay. But the most important one that I want to focus on is polonium-210. It is an alpha decaying substance, and it has a relatively long half-life of 138 days. Now, you may all remember, I think everyone in this audience may be old enough to remember back to 2006, when Alexander Litvinenko, a Russian spy who had sought political asylum in Great Britain, was assassinated by KGB officials using high-dose exposure to polonium-210. So this shows you just how dangerous this can be. But it's important to remember the take-home point here is we're not all going to go home and turn on the stove and die within 3 weeks like Alexander Litvinenko. Clinical effects are dependent on dose and duration of exposure, and chronicity of low-grade exposure may also be important. Well, how do radon progeny, or daughters, get into the lungs? What's the route of exposure? The route is mainly inhalation, although it can enter through the mouth as well. In any event, it passes through the nasopharyngeal passageways and the oropharyngeal passageways and moves on down the tracheobronchial tree. You can see the trachea with lymph nodes attached to it on the side, branching off into the right lung and the left lung. And you can see a kind of a white, stellar-looking area in the upper left lobe, which is a tumor, a lung tumor that has formed. And you can see the circle around lymph nodes that have been colored black on this schematic diagram to indicate metastatic nodes. Well, first I want to say that this slide is just a tiny bit misleading. Cancer doesn't happen this fast. You don't breathe in radon progeny and have it, you know, dip down into your tracheobronchial tree, get into your lungs, and wake up the next day or the next week with a tumor. It takes a long time. There's a long latency period between exposure to radon and its progeny and the clinical development of cancer or tumor. So let's have the briefest course in history on what carcinogenesis is all about in regard to radon. With radon, the alpha particles, which are the decay particles, can directly cause DNA damage. In addition, they can also cause free radicals to occur, and free radicals can also cause DNA damage. Now, when the DNA is damaged, it doesn't always mean that there's going to be a mutation, because we have built-in mechanisms for DNA repair, which is what keeps us going so long. But sometimes it's not effective. So you can have cell death, which is actually another built-in thing that helps protect us from the development of a tumor. If a cell is knowingly mutated because of alpha particle action, then programmed cell death called apoptosis will occur and will take that sick cell basically out of the playing field. So no tumor will grow. But sometimes that doesn't happen either. Sometimes there's no programmed cell death. And so a mutation begins with just one cell. And then you begin to get slow proliferation of mutated cells over a long time. And this leads eventually to tumor development. There's no single mutation that leads to tumor development. Multiple factors are involved, and these are things called epigenetics and resiliency of the patient. And don't forget the long latency period that exists between the initial exposure and the tumor development, which could be decades. This is just a quick picture of the DNA being damaged by radon and radon progeny. Radon and tobacco smoke have a synergistic effect. You all know that cigarette smoke is very dangerous. It's the leading cause of lung cancer. Approximately 90% of cases are due to cigarette smoking. Radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer, about 10%. Radon, however, is the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers. So exposure to radon alone at any level may pose a risk of lung cancer. And then if someone is also a cigarette smoker in addition, the risk is 10 to 20 times higher. Important to keep in mind is secondary smokers, those who've never actually smoked themselves but have been exposed as passive smokers. They are also at greater risk, and the synergistic effect is in play there too. The most vulnerable population of all include children. Children are the most vulnerable because they have a greater exposure to inhalational agents because, first of all, they breathe faster. They have a faster respiratory rate per per kilogram of body weight than adults do. Additionally, they may not yet have a well enough developed immune system. And in addition to that, they're very young, so they have many more years of future life ahead of them, within which a cancer with a long latency period can develop. There are other vulnerable groups too. People with pre-existing pulmonary diseases like asthma, fibrosis, COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and chronic bronchitis. Also, people who have other chemical exposures, like to arsenic, asbestos, benzene. Some of these products are also products that will be exposure risks with fracking. Elderly people are also another vulnerable group. The EPA has estimated that deaths due to radon are about at least 21,000 per year. And this is actually more than we see for drunk drivers. And you know that news about risks from drunk drivers or from falls in the home is frequently in the newspaper, but we hardly ever hear anything about radon in the house causing this many deaths from lung cancer. So let's talk briefly about lung cancer. This is a devastating disease. It's the most common cancer in both men and women today, surpassing breast cancer in women, prostate cancer in men, and colorectal cancer in both. Approximately 50% of patients die within 1 year after diagnosis, and that's because it's not diagnosed until it's already advanced and metastatic. The 5-year survival rate is the lowest among all cancers, only about 16%. And the period of suffering is extremely great. So the impact upon patients who have lung cancer, their loved ones who watch them suffer, and those of us in the medical and healthcare fields is very, very profound. Social responsibility is an important issue, and I'll mention it briefly. What do we have to do? We have to protect our neighbors. We have to protect New Yorkers. It's one of the greatest cities in the world. And we have to protect the people who live here and make this city great. We have to minimize exposure risks to known public health threats such as radon. And in summary, I just want to say that the increased delivery of natural gas to New York City apartments is a serious public health concern because it will increase the background level of indoor radon. It will increase exposure of New York City residents to radon. It will increase the incidence of lung cancer among New York City residents. And it will subject specific vulnerable populations to increased cancer risk, including children, all of our future generations, and people with already existing chronic pulmonary diseases, people with other chemical exposures, and especially direct tobacco smoke and environmental passive tobacco smoke. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go. From the symposium held this week, Lung Cancer and New York City Kitchens, brought together by Food and Water Watch and a wide coalition, including the Cooper Union environmental movement, that is available to you. That is an excerpt from the more than 2 hours of video put together by the fine documentarian and MNN programmer and ubiquitous historian, Joe Friendly, as part of the WBAI remote team. And we thank him for doing that. And now it's time for you to thank WBAI for being here on the crest of this wave, for being here with the forward, distant early warning about the inevitable consequences of increased cancer risk if New York State allows this fracking process to go on. For those of you who are just joining us, this thing that earlier in our discussion with Eric Weltman of Food and Water Watch said that corporate-owned politicians are selling us this Marcellus shale gas as a bridge fuel. Well, they certainly are trying to sell us a bridge. And there is insufficient regulation. Later on, we'll be hearing from State Assembly Member Linda Rosenthal on what you can do. This is why we need you to call area code 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. So we're going to pause for a few minutes so that a dozen more of you can get this $75 tax-deductible donation to WBAI, thank you gift, and educational weapon. It is a tool that you can bring to the people who are representing you but do not know or do not take responsibility for the increased risk that all of us in this city would be put to. Part of the things you will hear in this video and see, there's a tremendously educational presentation, but you've got to see the video part. That part I could not, you know, properly excerpt for the air because it is a visual presentation in many ways with slides and such. 516-620-3602. Call up our WBAI pledge line and tell them you want this video, Lung Cancer and New York City Kitchens. And what we learn from this conference is that there's an additional risk to a certain class of workers, those who are involved in the superstructure for delivery of the system, much less the fracking and the people in the water tables that get polluted, but also restaurant workers who will be using this radon-enhanced natural gas. 516-620-3602. And I think Michael is digitizing our executive reporting system of the calls coming in. And Michael, is that hooked up yet?
Yes, it is. In fact, a call just came in a few minutes ago for 5 o'clock shadow. So we're looking for people to call now, 516-620-3602, and make their pledges of support for this very fine documentary and for 5 o'clock shadow as well as WBAI, and we're in our spring fundraising and membership drive, so we're looking for you to call right now.
And for your own good and the untold millions who will have the leverage of probability of enhanced exposure or risk of cancer, because, you see, the place where they are doing this reckless fracking happens to coincide with those locations that the Environmental Protection Agency, pardon the expression, has indicated that there are above normal levels of radon. So they're bringing in this gas with enhanced killers in it, basically, alpha particle emitters, radon, and all of its derivative isotopes. 516-620-3602. We need about maybe 9 or 10 more of you to call at this time. And I really want to have you accelerate and get this video and share it. A buck and a half, $150. Some of you can afford that without hurting. And that way you can have it, and then you can send it to whoever represents you in Albany or the city council, or whether it be legislators in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut. Our broadcast signals reach those places. And now we need, 8 or 9. I'm not up to date. There's a lag between the time that you call and make the pledge. It takes you about 2 minutes to do so. 516-620-3602. And this is BAI at its best in the Pacific Mission, taking on in depth an issue about which people are undereducated and misled that poses a clear and present danger to health, sanity, expense, and the operation of civic institutions and the maintenance of the sanctity of one's life. 516-620-3602. Come on now, a few more of you call because I'd like to, as quickly as possible. We just heard Sheila Bushkin-Bedient of the Institute for Health and the Environment at Albany, the University of New York at Albany. But the next part I want to share goes into even more specificity about monitoring and regulation and speaks specifically about different communities and neighborhoods in this metropolitan region and how they would be affected if the government is allowed to give the green light to the oil industry and the supporting industries for fracking in New York State and elsewhere. You can make a difference, but not unless you are able to cogently and with cold clarity point out to the decision makers that they had better act in your interest and not in the interest of a temporary payment for 100,000 cancers that'll occur over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. It is a very, very, very important thing to enhance your learning through this video. A $75 tax deductible pledge to WBAI. And that number, once again, is 516-620-3602. WBAI was here for the other highly important medical symposium here in New York, Helen Caldicott's medical symposium on Fukushima. We have spoken many times, and people keep saying, don't they, Michael, okay, stay on that case, stay on the nuclear and the environment. Well, now is how you make sure we can do that in the future with a call to 516-620-3602. Right, Michael?
Absolutely. And we are looking for these calls coming in right now to 5 o'clock shadow for this radio station, supporting this radio station. And Robert, you're quite right. WBAI is a public interest radio station. It is. Oh, of course, we do all kinds of cultural presentations, much more than you'll ever hear or see anywhere else, but we are an early warning system, WBAI is. We are, if you'll allow me, an emergency alert system, WBAI is. We're always way ahead of all of these issues, and we need to see these calls coming in. We have been on the air for 53 years, listener-sponsored and commercial-free. No corporations underwrite these broadcasts. You, the listener, throughout this tri-state area and beyond, are calling in right now, 516-620-3602. Indeed, thank you very, very much. You appreciate the programming that Robert brings to you every day, Monday through Thursday. Let us hear from you now. 516-620-3602. If you're outside of our signal area, you can pledge online at give2, that's the number 2, give2wbai.org. Everyone else, if you're listening to us on a land-based radio station, and we're so happy to have this broad cast environment.
Yes.
You know, no one can track you listening to WBAI. You really have to understand that. And someone can click off a narrow cast environment just like that. But we're a broadcast entity, and we're so happy that you tuned in to 5 o'clock shadow this afternoon. 516-620-3602. We're looking for a half dozen calls right now.
All right.
So we can
just
go back to this
more
programming.
Five, six.
Just six more so we can go back. I'm
cool.
Anxious. I didn't know anything about this conference, but I do know the work of Joe Friendly, a partner with WBAI for many, many years. And so we want to support that. And in Joe's going down and making this available, he is supporting us. You are supporting us right now. 516-620-3602. Thank you, folks. Thank you so much.
And Kathy Davis, our public affairs director, also took a leading role in helping make sure that this happened. And so we appreciate her work. And that's the thing about BAI. We come together, despite innate bases of strife, to find the mission of looking at the differences among people and communities and finding a basis of communication and understanding that leads to an epoch of peace. 516-620-3602. And today we are advocating for biological peace and against the importation of higher risk radon content natural gas. 516-620-3602. It's sort of like radioactivity. It is a risk that is invisible were it not for a WBAI to bring about this more than 2 hours long video on the conference Tuesday night at Cooper Union called Lung Cancer and New York City Kitchens. And we have been getting calls. So, Michael, I think it might be useful to hear a bit more about the regulatory environment in regard to the proposed increase of three more. Thank you. Increased exposure to radon, whether it be in the leaky pipes transporting it to the city or whether it be in your kitchen. In your kitchen, in your name, they are about to get away with this. This is the antidote. This is the stake to put in the heart of those who would irradiate all of us. 516-620-3602. I'd like now for you to hear Elizabeth Glass-Geitman from the School of Public Health at Hunter College speaking a bit more about this deadly process that we are at risk of being exposed to and the regulatory environment.
I like to start off with what we know in terms of identifying the patterns in the disease. And this is just showing you the map of where the shale gas plays are next to EPA's map of radon. Now, we've already had our discussion of FIGS. It's saying that there are different types of chemicals, and radon in and of itself isn't the whole ballgame. But the EPA map has been used to warn people for a couple of decades now about radon in their home and where high radon areas are. And you'll immediately notice that the Marcellus Shale is in a high radon area. And some of the areas where we traditionally haven't have gotten our gas, the Gulf Coast, are not. We know, again, you've seen some of these slides, that EPA has identified radon as a significant health risk. One of the other things that hasn't been discussed yet is that although EPA has identified it as a risk, the World Health Organization has actually created lower recommended levels in terms of dealing with remediation should people find radiation in their homes or dwellings. The EPA level is 4 picocuries per liter. WHO has set that level at only 2.7. So there is some discrepancy in the scientific community as to what is or is not safe. A number of people have said, you know, nothing is safe. Nothing is often a difficult area to remediate to. So we have discrepancies in opinion, but we know that radon is a very, very real risk and that it causes lung cancer. We also know that there's multiple venues of ways that radon gets into our environment. The typical area that has been concerned mostly, if you look at in terms of environmental auditing, environmental remediation, will be looking at soil around homes and other dwellings. So typically what's being looked upon is trying to seal different areas and make sure that any kind of radon that's being emitted from the ground won't get into different types of dwellings. But there's also concerns from building materials, potable water, ambient air, as well as, we're talking about today, natural gas. And I say that because when you're looking at these things, you're looking at the total amount of radon in a particular environment. The indoor environment is contained. Different types of indoor environments have different types of ventilations that are going on. Modern buildings that are designed to be efficient often have less air exchange from the outdoors, which means that things that are brought indoor in the indoor environment tend to stay in the indoor environment for a larger period of time, which means that this form of indoor air pollution can become more significant. The potable water I want to bring into things. Again, this is something that we're concerned about with radon, is going into our lungs. When people in high radon areas that have water that has radon in it shower, that also is a way that radon can get into things. Not as much an issue in New York City where we're drinking city water, but outside of the city where there are people will also be having gas, it is a concern where people on well water and other types of things. And of course, natural gas. Now, one of the things about natural gas in the ambient air, a lot of the talk has been talking about what is going to be in our stoves. And that, of course, is very, very important. But I also want to point out a study that was showing how much radon may be in the ambient air due to leakage in our current methane lines in Manhattan and around New York City. And this is showing leakage that was measured of gas in our pipelines. It's not really a surprise that methane gas leaks out into the ambient air in New York City. Some of these pipes were put in the 1800s. They're old, they leak. If there's added radon in the mix, and again, there is already some radon, but it has been shown that the radon that we have is a relatively low amount and so not necessarily a huge risk, But if you are elevating the level of radon in the ambient air, then that's going to mean that it's going to be coming in from the exterior as well as through natural gas in the home. I already have had discussions about the fact that coming from our current radon levels in gas is relatively low, largely due to transit time coming from this area and the half-life. We have right now very, very, very limited studies about the amount of radon that are coming out of the Marcellus shale gas. Now, you all know that in New York we have a moratorium. In Pennsylvania, the Marcellus, there is already drilling. And so figuring out how much radon is coming out of the wellheads is something that is knowable. There have been a number of studies recently which have been hotly debated. Some of them have shown that the levels of picocuries are 150 to 160 at the wellhead, and using certain types of math, they projected that that could be up to 125 picocuries per liter in New York City gas. Again, EPA says 4 is safe. WHO says it's 2.7. So we're talking about something that is a concern. Again, this is a knowable thing in terms of how much it is. The gas industry right now says that we don't know, but measuring how much radon is at the wellheads of these frack sites is something that is exceedingly knowable. It just needs to have access to do it. Now I'm going to take a minute and look at what New York's response is, and I don't usually like to read things, but this comes from a letter that was from the Department of Health to from a question that was raised by the League of Women Voters in New York. And the question was, is this going to be safe? Totally reasonable question. And the answer was, quote, DEC and DOH do not believe that radon poses a significant risk to gas well drillers, other gas industry workers, or to residents in the vicinity of well drilling operations. In addition, and this is my emphasis added, based upon a review of natural gas produced in other areas of the country, and this is a footnote, that doesn't make any sense because a review in other areas of the country doesn't show the same radon level, so it's a kind of ridiculous assertion. But based upon a review of natural gas produced in other areas of the country, DEC and DOH do not believe that radon in Marcellus shale gas poses a significant risk to residents in homes that utilize gas. The next portion is what really gets me up in ire. It says, quote, however, if New York State permits gas development through HVHF, that's high volume hydraulic fracturing, in the Marcellus Shale, random sampling of the natural gas will be required as part of initial drilling activities, and DOH will assess these radon levels in an effort to verify that they do not pose an unanticipated health risk to end users of the gas. Okay, totally backwards, okay? If we wait to have that happen, then that means, of course, we already have the infrastructure in place. And we know what the argument will be at that point. The argument will be that we can't change it because the infrastructure is in place. We have the technology in order to assess what is available at the drill level, at the wellheads. It is measurable. It's something that needs to be taken into account before we embark along this thing. Again, I like to talk about the precautionary principle, which is one of the things that we're always telling my students. That means that if we don't know that it is safe, we make sure it is before we do it. And that is a model that has been followed in Europe. A number of countries have banned this practice because of the precautionary principle already. We have that concept in American jurisprudence as well. The FDA, for example, requires that if a manufacturer wants to introduce prescription drugs into the American public, they have to show it's safe before they start having it in commerce. The same principles need to be here. So the main issue when we get into this is that we've had a lot of issues with what are the health and environmental effects of fracking and shale gas extraction. We need to make sure that this component of it is safe as well. And we need to make sure that both New York State and the United States adhere to the precautionary principle, because it's extremely important that we don't continue to allow people to privatize profits and publicize all the negative externalities that are available.
Thank you, Professor.
And there you have it, the externalities, the increased radon that all of us in this broadcast region are at risk of being exposed to. 10% of the non-smoking cancers come from radon, you know. And if you're in a polluted environment, imagine how much greater is the risk to you. This is an avoidable risk, and we want you to have this videographic program, this DVD, produced for WBAI, that is of the conference held at the Cooper Union Great Hall called Lung Cancer and New York City Kitchens. Have you ever thought about the hydrofracking process and all of the dirty chemicals that are placed under hot, high pressure into the rock underground in order to blow out a little bit of petroleum and methane and other burnable gases? Do you ever wonder what happens to the fluids after they've injected them into your earth? You ever wonder about the water tables? You ever wonder why your kitchen spigot is burning? 516-620-3602 is the number to call. The risk that is posed is because the place where they are fracking, the so-called Marcellus Shale, it's a geological term, about the region in the New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and Pennsylvania and Delaware, in the New York City, the potential contamination of the water, much less the radon, affects 7.5 million people, puts that many people at risk. In Pennsylvania, 4 million people, 2 million in New Jersey, 1.5 million in Philadelphia, and 750,000 people in Delaware. This is something that I think WBAI excels at, and our listeners take responsibility to see, to learn, to teach, to share. Now, we need the next couple of dozen of you to make that call now at 516-620-3602. More than 2 hours of an exquisite, hot-off-the-press video, DVD, of the symposium where some of the brightest minds and best hearts of our generation and of our region came together at Cooper Union for the Lung Cancer in New York City Kitchens conference. 516-620-3602. We need at least 1.5 dozen of you to make a call before the next section, because I want you to hear what's being done in the New York State Assembly. I want you to be able to hear the Committee on Occupational Safe and Healthy and Health. That's, in fact, coming up next once we get a few more pledges at area code 516-620-3602. This DVD, this video of this conference, it just happened. Nobody's got it. We've got it here at WBAI. That's what we're supposed to do. And what you're supposed to do is to maintain your environmental watchdog, to keep this radio station vital and still able to be on the cutting edge of issues of great social, environmental, economic, biological, and health impact. Won't a few more of you join those who are calling now at 516-620-3602? We're coming to the magic moment of 5 p.m. where ordinarily 5 o'clock shadow is. Today we're doing an extended special because of this extraordinary premium. $75, 516-620-3602. And $75 is not even the price of a penny per hour to keep BAI going for the next year. 516-620-3602. And we bring this to you because we think it's something you should know. It is something that, unawares to many of us, are using corporate profit with compliant politicians to enhance the risk of neoplasm to all of us. And they almost might can get away with it because we don't know enough. Well, you can change that. Get this video of the conference at Cooper Union Call, Lung Cancer in New York City Kitchens. Say that when you call up, 516-620-3602. And if just a handful, half a dozen more of you would call at this time, we can proceed with samples because I think it's important to share useful excerpts from this program and let the people who might not be able to call us and support us at this time have some idea. We are trying to save lives. We're trying to stop a ripoff industry from putting us all at increased risk to our health, safety, well-being, and pursuit of happiness. 516-620-3602. My name is Robert Knight. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow, and this is WBAI in New York, part of the Pacifica Radio Network. We're also streaming live at stream.wbai.org. Make that call now, 516-620-3602. On deck from this video that has exquisite directorial or production standards. It's not like somebody just, you know, planted a tripod. Oh, no, it zooms in for the close-ups of whoever is the key speaker of the moment and pans back for when there's interaction. It's really good. Joe Friendly did it, and that name should mean something, and hopefully the name WBAI means something, and we need you exactly and explicitly to call 516-620-3602 right now to keep us being on the front edge of issues of importance. We've spoken about the essential need for green space in New York City. We've spoken about the ongoing danger of the operation of Indian Point. And there are many other programs that address some of these issues, like exploration or Ken Gale's program on the environment and ecology. And WBAI is serving you with something that could really affect you or your children if we let the criminals and the politicians and the industrialists get away with bringing into New York City fracked gas with enhanced levels of radon. You heard from our prior speakers how the European community laughs at the levels that are permitted in American regulation or non-regulation. This is important. It is an invisible danger made visible through the film, through this DVD, through this video. $75 tax deductible to support WBAI. 516-620-3602. And for those of you who are tuning in at this top of the hour, Michael, I think we will proceed with Jill Greenberg. She is with the New York Committee on Occupational Safety and Health. And this conference will rock your world. And when you see and get this video and share it with your community and your legislators and you write and you protest and you go up to Albany on the 17th of June, you can actually be a lifesaver. Because statistically, people will die at an enhanced rate from the increased radiation of the radon that comes from the Marcellus Shell and the tar sands that come to us through fracking. The same area where they're doing that is where prior geological studies show there is an increased level of radon. It's the invisible killer, and we can stop it if you make that call to 516-620-3602. And here now, Jill Greenberg of NICOSH.
We're here today to once again head off being used as canaries in the proverbial coal mine. If I'd wanted to be a bird, I'd grow feathers. Fortunately for me and for all of us, we don't have to. We actually have NICOSH. The New York Committee for Occupational Safety and Health has for more than 30 years been in the forefront of advocacy for worker health and safety and in the fight for safer working conditions. This week's tragic news from Bangladesh really reminds us of the centrality of worker safety to a civilized society. NICOSH has been an essential part of keeping New York State a civilized place, particularly in this globalized economy. founded by health and safety activists, among them scientists, academics, doctors, lawyers, and trade unionists, in the mid to late 70s in response to passage of the new Federal Occupational Health and Safety Act of 1970. They wanted to ensure the new law provided the strongest possible protections to ordinary workers. And over the years, NICOSH has trained tens of thousands of workers in New York City, Long Island, and Hudson Valley. They've built coalitions of community, environmental, and labor organizations, conducted conferences on workers' compensation, asbestos, diesel fumes in transportation, ergonomics, immigrant workers, the list goes on. And they've provided technical assistance on issues ranging from the aftermath of a wastewater treatment plant explosion to lab safety in schools. And they've also testified many times on congressional hearings on OSHA standards and at city council hearings on a variety of subjects. And after 9/11, NICOSH was an organizational leader in the effort to educate the public and rescue workers about hazardous exposures in Lower Manhattan and provided experts for numerous 9/11 health panels. And most recently, after Hurricane Sandy, they again provided technical assistance, training, and fact sheets on the cleanup of mold and sewage contamination for cleanup workers. Just a quick note, just so you know, this is very personal for me. My own involvement, actually, in the COSH movement, as it's called, for worker health and safety, dates back to the late 70s when I was a worker at risk in my first job after college. Along with fellow employees at an upstate university research lab, we were repeatedly exposed in the workplace to hazardous chemicals and free market pesticides because the research facility had a flawed and improperly designed ventilation system. Some of my fellow workers became ill with acute respiratory conditions, while others suffered permanent lung damage from exposure. And we met with and received support and technical advice from an upstate COSH group in Syracuse. We were able to get OSHA to inspect the facility and ultimately have engineering and design controls implemented, and they were able to fix the design flaws and protect the employees working there. So when I moved back to New York City several years later, the first door I knocked on to offer my volunteer time was at NICOSH. So tonight we're gathered at Cooper Union to shine a spotlight on what must be done to protect ourselves and our coworkers, trade unionists, our trade union brothers and sisters, from potential workplace exposures to elevated levels of radon and natural gas. And it's been discussed how the shale will get into New York City via the various pipelines. So I'll just skip that. Along with increased exposure for New York City residents, other sectors of the population will have additional exposures to radiation from radon and its progeny. For example, workers performing maintenance on the natural gas distribution systems will be exposed to additional radon from polonium when they remove pipes, valves, flanges, and other equipment, or clean scale from the inside of the equipment. And workers in the subway and other subterranean spaces will have greater exposure when ambient radon levels in the outside air increase, as Liz just mentioned. When professions at risk in other professions at risk here in New York City include workers in building maintenance and the hotel trades, including building superintendents, custodians and handymen, and porters in residential and commercial buildings who work on gas-fired boilers, heating system maintenance and repair, custodians who work at the Board of Education, who maintain public school heating systems that use gas-fired appliances, building maintenance staff in New York City hotels that are heated by gas, utility workers at firms like Con Edison and National Grid, and the smaller businesses they subcontract to that do pipeline infrastructure projects, along with pipe fitters, welders that work on structural steel for pipeline maintenance and repair. I mean, this is a really long list of people who are potentially exposed. And then, as Heather has clearly talked about, chefs and restaurant workers all across the five boroughs in restaurants, hotels, and other institutional food provision locations. You know, and we have some sobering statistics on occupational health already in this country. Almost 4,693 workers were killed on the job in 2011, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 206 of them here in New York State. That's an average of 13 workers every day die on the job. That's 13 too many. An estimated 50,000 people die from occupational diseases in the United States, and there's an additional 7.6 million to 11.4 million job injuries and illnesses. In fact, in New York State alone, there were 232,000 injuries and illnesses in 2011. And the cost of this, just injuries and illnesses alone, is enormous. It's estimated to be $250 billion to $300 billion a year. Less than 2 weeks ago, the National Council on Occupational Safety and Health, we commemorated Workers' Memorial Day here in New York and across the country. We were actually, NICOSH was joined by Congressmember Jerry Nadler, the New York City Central Labor Council, local trade unions, and concerned community members to honor the memory. We lost 75 New Yorkers in 2012. We don't want to continue to mourn when we can organize. The harsh lessons of residential and workplace exposures to toxics like lead or asbestos should inform our discussion and after-event organizing tonight. David Rossner and Gerald Markowitz's seminal book, Deceit and Denial, The Deadly Politics of Industrial Pollution, documents attempts by chemical and lead industries to suppress the scientific and medical evidence about lead and to deceive Americans about the dangers that their deadly products presented to workers, the public, and consumers. The hazards of exposure to radon are well documented, as has been discussed, in both the medical and scientific community worldwide. The World Health Organization, International Agency for Research on Cancer, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, along with EPA, have classified radon as a Class A human health carcinogen because of the wealth of biological and epidemiological evidence and the data that show the connection between exposure to radon and lung cancer in humans. There's no uncertainty here about it, and we need to ensure that the strongest safety and health protections are in place for workers and the public. We can't be canaries. The greedier employers about us are already trying to pay us in birdseed. We can be proactive. I'm not growing feathers. I intend to evaluate the shale gas and force this industry to account for itself before being silenced. Let's do it now. Thank you.
This is 5 O'Clock Shadow, and that was Jill Greenberg. Linda Rosenthal is next. And this is just some of the astonishing revelations that are made clear in this DVD video, this film that was made by Joe Friendly as part of the crack remote team of WBAI just the other night at Cooper Union with this conference. Please call us up at 516-620-3602. My name is Robert Knight here on 5 O'Clock Shadow with Michael G. Haskins. And there's an education embedded in this. And I never underestimate your intelligence, your courage, and ability to see beyond the trickery of industry. And I'm hoping that you will now support the radio station that brings you news like this, 516-620-3602. A $75 pledge gets you this more than 2 hours of videographic documentation of the blind risk to which you are being subjected and your children and children's children through the increased radon of the fracking process in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, the entire broadcast area of WBAI. And you need us. You need a radio station like this, and we need you to say yes to get this video, $75, 516-620-3602, or, in fact, if you can, get two or three copies of it and spread it around to people on those key committees. Send it to the governor and talk to his aides and make sure that you do not become one of those random premeditated murder victims of the exposure to increased radiation from radon and have those alpha particles tearing apart your lymph nodes and thyroid and related organs. This really is a cancer risk, and we can do something about it, but you need to have the briefing. 516-620-3602. Please call us now. We're looking for a few dozen of you to join us in the next few minutes. I think maybe we'll go for 5 minutes for people to indicate their assent. ASSENT, 516-620-3602. And, of course, the assent, ASCENT, to a higher level of consciousness about personal and collective safety, 516-620-3602. If you can name another broadcast institution that is doing this kind of work, then support them too. But right now, WBAI is depending on you. 516-620-3602. It is a fine briefing. It is called the Lung Cancer and New York City Kitchens. And it, you see, we want to help you sustain the station, because if it's gone, there will never be another. not even remotely like WBAI. No, you know, maybe Google. Maybe Google will buy us up and have very hip packaging, but shallow content. Maybe it could become a sports talk station if we do not meet our goal. 516-620-3602. You saw what happened to WEVD, did you not? This is that moment for WBAI. We need you. 516-620-3602. And what we're offering is the complete proceedings, more than 2 hours of videographic film, or a DVD, rather, of the Lung Cancer and New York City Kitchens Forum on the health risks of natural gas with high radon levels that come to us precisely because in the Northeast, where the fracking is taking place, is where the elevated radon levels are. And you can change the fate of your co-citizens by making sure this radio station is able to give you that warning, just as the previous speaker, Jill Greenberg, was saying. We refuse to be the canaries in the coal mine of the ambition of industry and of the acquiescence of politicians who do not know how much we know. Get this, share it, spread it, and change it. 516-620-3602. And we have maybe, I promise 5 minutes to encourage you so that we can hear more. An acoustic sample from this video, this DVD, 516-620-3602. And this next segment that we're about to hear as soon as a few more of you call, Assemblymember Linda Rosenthal, she is a mover and a shaker, and she's going to tell you what's happening legislatively in terms of monitoring and restriction of this, and how possible it is for us to have an effect and to bring in some meaningful protective legislation.
Thank you very much to Al Appleton, Cooper Union Institute for Sustainable Design, and all the various sponsors and co-sponsors for hosting this important and informative event. I just have one question. Are you scared yet? Yeah. Because when I heard all of this information and I read different articles that were supplied by the people I met with, it's like, oh my God, this is scary. This is something that nobody wants to acknowledge out there. And I feel that as an elected member of the New York State Legislature, that it was my duty to do something about it. You know, I used to work for Congressman Jerry Nadler, some years ago, and I went through the whole 9/11 experience with that office and with the residents of Lower Manhattan, where the head of the EPA said the air is safe to breathe. Now, as a state legislator, I see that in the SGEIS for fracking, there's no health study included. And then I saw, courtesy of the doctor, that the DEC says we want to verify that they do not pose an unanticipated risk. So you're verifying something you believe without proof that what you believe is true. So, you know, I went into this business very idealistic about government protecting its citizenry. I still believe it, but I think not everybody is down with that mission. But I am. So that is why. That is why I heard the alarm bells and I said, well, I will have to introduce something in the New York State Assembly. And I'm fortunate to have found a co-sponsor in the New York State Senate, who is Senator Diane Savino. She hails from Staten Island, which has a large radon problem. So just for that reason alone, it's good that she's the co-sponsor. Okay, so I'm going to run through some of the provisions in the bill, which is Bill A6863. And okay, so first, this bill requires the Bureau of Environmental Radiation Protection under the Department of Health along with consultation with the Department of Environmental Conservation and the Public Service Commission, to create a compliance assurance system to monitor levels of radon and its progeny, not daughters, at each city gate location in real time, online monitoring, as well as periodic physical inspection. It would prohibit local gas distribution entities from building new or additional storage facilities to mitigate radon levels. It would prohibit local gas distribution entities from passing any harmful effects of mitigation to other regions in the state. It requires that if levels of radon monitored at any city gate entrance exceed 1.0 picocuries per liter, but is less than 2.0 picos per liter, the local distribution entity shall implement a radon mitigation program to bring levels down below 1 picocuries per liter. And importantly, most importantly, requires that if levels of radon monitored at any city gate entrance exceed 4 picocuries per liter of air, which the EPA has set as the action level, over 1 hour period, then the entity, Con Ed, National Grid, whatever, shall shut off the acceptance of natural gas until levels are below that action level for at least 6 hours. And that would protect us. And there's also a provision for commencing civil actions if any of the distributors of natural gas do not comply with the provisions here. So this is our legislative approach to this because, I mean, there are all sorts of actions taking place on all different levels of the community, within government, outside of government. All of you are involved with, all the experts are involved with. But this is our legislative approach, which not only do we want to pass the bill, but it is a great way to talk about the issue. It's a good, you know, centerpiece when you want to say, what can we do? This is one of the things we can do. So the way I talk about this with any bill, for example, I have a bill that I just introduced to have labeled, requires labeling of all GMO foods. So, you know, this is also something that the public needs to be educated about, although they're far ahead on GMO knowledge than about radon knowledge. So what we need to do is educate my colleagues, just the ones not wearing the wires. But I don't know who those are. No, I know who those are. Okay, so we have to educate my colleagues in the Assembly and the Senate. Now, the way you do that, for example, with the GMO bill, is the activists have told the people who are concerned about this, and this is the way to do it, you inundate people with emails. You inundate them with phone calls. You inundate them with snail mail. And you just spread the word that this is an important bill for them to sign on to. They should co-sponsor this bill. The bill number, once again, is A6863 in the Assembly. And in the Senate, it's S4921. And if you don't know who your legislator is, you can just look it up on the websites of the Assembly and the Senate. And also tell your friends and your family and anyone you know throughout the state that they should get their representative to sign on as co-sponsor of the bill. Thank you.
See, there is something that can be done, and you can be a part of the process of saving lives and not allowing us to be exposed to enhanced radon in the fracking gas that they're bringing into New York City through the Spectra pipeline and that the governor has yet to stop. This is WBAI. I'm Robert Knight. You're tuned to 5 o'clock Shadow, and we are accepting your pledges for the $75 original DVD recorded by Joe Friendly for WBAI, $75 for the most important briefing on the tens, hundreds of thousands of cancers that will be induced because of enhanced radon, radioactive isotopes in your gas stove. 516-620-3602. And I thank all of you who have been calling, but you see, This program is not just about diagnostics and going all boo-hoo. What makes this program and this video dangerous to the reckless industry is that you can do something because now you know, now you know. 516-620-3602, hopefully a flurry, a perfect convergence of the additional people who've been listening, learning, and thinking about all of this. It's up to you now to support and sustain WBAI. We get electronic notifications, but there will be a day in the very near future when we reassemble at our own space. Hallelujah. 516-620-3602, and we will once again be able to hear the phones ringing in live time and gathering at our own house. And that is the day that you're helping us get to. You're helping us keep the transmitter on. You're helping us through a very difficult time for WBAI. But there are even worse things contemplated for the public with this runaway industrial politician-owned system of fracking. And just as you recall back in 1978 or 79, the nascence of the anti-nuclear movement, WBAI was on the front end of that, and it's on the front end of this, and that's because you sustain us. We have no corporations, only you, the listeners. And right now, in these waning minutes of today's 5 o'clock shadow, you can be heroes. But only this day. I'm looking at you, David Boy. You can be a hero. Make that call and send us out with a great note of hope and of the ability to change the future. Remember, you just heard David talking about there is also parallel legislation moving through the New York City Council, in addition to Bill 6863 in the Assembly. From Linda Rosenthal. 516-620-3602. It is a finely photographed, videographed, full proceedings, more than 2 hours, of this most important conference. 516-620-3602. And Michael, have you learned anything today?
I most certainly have learned a great deal about radon and about fracking. But you know something? I always learn something from this radio station about these environmental issues, about these issues that affect all of us, each and every one of us. We're asking you to join us now, become members, support 5 o'clock shadow, support radio station WBAI. That number, it's our lifeline to you. It's 516-620-3602. And yes, for a $75 contribution, we will send you, as a thank you gift, this very fine film. But more than that, if there are those of you out there that could put forward a $500 matching fund, how about that? In the final moments of 5 o'clock shadow with Robert Knight, could you do that? If you have the wherewithal, we're not asking anybody to dig into their checking account and not be able to pay their rent. We're just asking you if the sun has kissed your face in a lovely, wonderful way, would you make that call and give us a $500 matching fund right now? That's what we need, a $500 matching fund. Hmm. And we need to hear from you, those of you who listen and who tune in to this radio frequency on a daily basis, who get so much from this radio frequency. I know that there are people, those of you out there, who have told your family members ad infinitum about this radio station, and they came to the radio station kicking and screaming, because I know, because I was like that. I didn't want to hear it. I just wanted to hear my music. But when I heard this radio station, I've never looked back. And I'm sure you're like that as well as your family members. So join us now. This is a listener-sponsored radio, commercial-free radio. Robert Knight has been here for many, many years doing this kind of work. 516-620-3602.
Thank you, Michael G. Haskins, one of the stalwarts of the maintenance of standards and spirit here as the chief announcer at WBAI. And you, are the true fuel. You are the non-polluting, non-radioactive, but yes, active because of the radio. People of goodwill who can save lives, who can affect legislators, who can protect us and our future by stopping this radon-enhanced radioactive so-called natural gas that is being pumped out of the high radon content ground of the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, New Jersey region. And I thank you for the courage that you manifest in confronting this subject and saving some lives and in supporting the station that helps you save lives. And with that, I'll ask just a few more of you as we move out with theme. I think Michael, or whatever you have, he is the director of incidental music, as my colleague Hugh Hamilton likes to say. And but we need you. 516-620-3602. BAI told you about this, the best and the first. And if you don't keep calling 516-620, it could be the last. 516-620-3602. But I got a feeling we're going to make it. And I'd like to invite your comments with an email to theshadow, T-H-E-S-H-A-D-O-W, theshadow at WBAI.org, for which I'm Robert Knight, with gratitude to Kathy Davis, and she's our public affairs director, and to Joe Friendly. He is our on-the-spot videographer, making this $75 DVD possible. This is the last minute to get it, 516-620-3602. And on behalf of all of the staff, volunteers, and you listeners, thank you for making liberation and salvation possible by sustaining WBAI. 516-620-3602. I'm Robert Knight.
Come see Noam Chomsky, Oliver Stone, Bolivian Vice President Garcia Linera, Francis Fox Piven, and over 1,000 speakers from around the world at the Left Forum Conference, June 7th to 9th in New York City. Register at www.leftforum.org or call 212-817-2002.
Hey, WBAI listeners, act now and get a free weekly subscription to The Nation magazine. How? You sign on at WBAI.org to become a BAI buddy for as little as $10 a month, and you also get The Nation magazine for a limited time only, so act now and become a BAI buddy. Along with your buddiness, you'll receive The Nation magazine free every week if you act now. Yes, now is the time for all good listeners to come to the aid of their radio station, WBAI. The quick brown fox gets a free subscription to The Nation when he jumps over the lazy dog and becomes a BAI buddy. If you love The Nation magazine, and who doesn't, become a BAI buddy now. Don't wait. WBAI.org. Do it today. Yay.
Hello, everyone. I am Christine Blasdale, and I'm so very glad that you're joining me this hour. We are going to be talking about health. We're going to be talking about happiness. We're going to be talking about a lot of important things this hour. And I'm very, very happy to be joined by a wonderful woman, nationally acclaimed innovator and expert in the fields of integrative medicine, women's health, psychiatry, and addiction recovery. Dr. Hyla Kass appears often as a guest on national radio and television programs, including The Dr. Oz Show, E! Entertainment, and The View. She is the author of several popular books, including Natural Highs, 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health, and Supplement Your Prescription, What Your Doctor Doesn't Know About Nutrition. She's a member of the Medical Advisory Board of the Health Sciences Institute and Taste for Life magazine. She is also associate editor of Total Health magazine. She has served on the boards of California Citizens for Health and the American College for Advancement in Medicine. She has a very lively, thriving practice in Pacific Palisades, California, which for more information, you're welcome to go to CassMD.com. And I am very happy to welcome to the program Dr. Hyla Kass. Dr. Kass, welcome to this Fun Drive special.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, you
How
sound
are you, doing
you sound fantastic. You sound like you're right next door. Yes. Well, I'm very, very happy to have you on. I've actually been a big fan of yours for many, many years. As you know, the work you've done with Dr. Goldberg. was the with the mind. We're talking about the working with the brain and working with having a healthy brain. And the work that you've done with him was a lot of talking about amino acids and having using health, using nutrition and supplements and things to have a healthy brain.
One of my claims to fame is actually helping people adjust their brain chemistry as naturally as possible without the use of medications. Because even though I'm a psychiatrist, an MD, I can write prescriptions, my preference is always to help guide people to use the most natural means possible to help your own internal biochemistry pick up and do its job. Then you get a happier person, a happier brain, and without the side effects.
Exactly. Wow, a medical doctor who's not into prescribing a lot of medication.
Yes.
You're refreshing.
Thanks. You know, and by the way, I'm not anti-drug. I just think that most of the time, medications are overprescribed.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. I'm curious to find out about some of the things that that you specialize in. Can you, just because our listeners, I want to give them an overview of some of the things. I understand with brain chemistry, you've done a lot of work on that. But what other things have you been working with your patients?
Well, the point is that your brain rules everything. It rules your hormones, and your hormones consist not just of, you know, we usually think of hormones like estrogen or testosterone, but hormones are also the thyroid gland, the adrenals, the pancreas. So we have hormones all over the body. And the brain is control central. What we eat controls the brain. So when I'm seeing patients and when I'm writing my books, what I'm really focusing on is what people are putting into their mouths, what you're eating, how you're living, if you're exercising, if you're sleeping properly, and what medications you're taking, many, many different facets of life. You know, I don't just look at the one symptom and say, oh, well, you have a Prozac deficiency, you're depressed, you know, or if you have, if you have PMS, well, let's put you, again, women with PMS are often just given an antidepressant. So what I really do is look, it's like looking under the hood of a car. You know, it's like going to a good mechanic who actually lifts up the hood of the car and looks instead of just turning off the warning light on the dashboard. So that's what I'd say my claim to fame is looking at the whole person, looking at mind, body, spirit, environment, and all the systems, because the systems are so closely related. Everything interacts with everything else. And by the way, this could sound confusing because how can an individual figure that all out for themselves? But I've written enough so that I can actually help guide people through the process of figuring out for themselves what areas their issues may lie in.
What would you say are the most common issues that people come in to you for? I mean, I know there's a whole host. I know people have a whole variety of things that they're dealing with. But let's say, you know, the top five that you really experience sort of time and time again with people.
I think people are stressed. They're anxious, worried, tired, really tired. Very often people say, I can't get through the day without wanting to nap. And usually you can't nap. You have to work. Or you're a mom taking care of little kids or whatever it is. Or you have several jobs. So people are tired, they're stressed, they're depressed. They have different ages have different issues. For example, younger women may have problems with PMS. Women who are more in midlife are having problems with menopausal symptoms. And all of these are the things that people come to me with, and that I actually help them sort them through, and I really work as a partner with my patients. And I find that doing it that way, people are given, you know, it's like either giving somebody fish or teach them how to fish. I'm actually helping people learn how to take care of their own bodies and brains, and it's so rewarding.
That's the whole thing. That's what I really love about the work that you've done, is that it's not just about this thing of, you know, well, you must come see me. You must have me guide you. I'm going to go through this. I mean, you have a very detailed plan for people. Excuse me. But you really want to teach them the skills, the things that they can learn, so that they can do these things themselves and they can take themselves on their own journey. And I think that's very, very powerful because it gives responsibility to the patient or to me, you know, the human being who's having the issue, be
right.
it PMS or menopause or something hormonal related, stress kills. We know this.
Yeah.
Now, if someone has something that's physical that you can see that is of a problem and I'm very worried. I need to go to the doctor and get this checked out.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. But stress and anxiety and being worried, those things, many times people just try and bear through it, right?
They do. And by the way, I don't know. I don't say, oh, you can take care of it yourself. You know, I actually do act as a physician and find out what's going on. I take a very thorough history. In fact, what I do is I have people fill out this pretty extensive questionnaire in advance. And much of that questionnaire is actually found in my 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health book. Because when you fill out the questionnaire, you actually get some education about what I'm looking for and what you should look for. So in the process just of answering the questions, you start to sort out, oh, hey, I hadn't really thought of that. You know, people have a lot of very interesting insights in answering the questions. Interesting, like, do you have trouble losing weight? Do you have dry skin? Do you have dry, brittle hair? Are you forgetful? Do you tend to be depressed? Are you tired at certain times of the day? And by the way, all of those questions have to do with the thyroid of all things. And I don't think people are going to likely to come into me and say, do you know, I think I have a thyroid problem.
No.
I think I have an adrenal problem. They're not. But in answering the questionnaire, and the questionnaire is not a mystery because I have it all in categories. Look at you've answered 4 yeses in the thyroid category or 4 or 5 yeses in the adrenal category or some, let's say you answer in the blood sugar category, craving for sweets, mood swings, poor concentration, tending to wake up at night and can't fall back to sleep, heart palpitations. And you wouldn't think about that as related to blood sugar. You might just think you're feeling nervous, anxious, and what's really going on is you're having a blood sugar issue. So all of these, in answering the questionnaire, you get to see, oh, this might be going on in me. So already I have people prepped to work with me to start thinking differently about their body. So they're not simply bringing their body to the doctor, but they're actually thinking about things and starting to learn how to take responsibility. And I don't have, as I said, I don't say, oh, you have the answers yourself. I'm not going to tell you. I certainly do, and I help people by doing a lot of lab testing as well. And in my writings, I tell people what lab work they can get themselves. Because people, you can actually get some of the lab work yourself, or if you need a physician, what lab tests your physician ought to be taking. And through that, I'm taking away the mystery. You see, I think the doctors have been gods for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that role. I'd much rather be a partner.
You don't like being a god?
No, I want to be revered, of course. No, not really. I want to be respected as an expert, but I also want to be a partner. Because
mm-hmm.
yes. I'm not there in the middle of the night when you wake up and you have realize, oh, I'm low blood sugar, I better eat something. But if I've educated them that they need to eat some protein at bedtime, or they ought to have something next to their bed when they wake up, that's being a partner. It's being a partner when I put them on a program of specific, say, amino acids or specific vitamins, and they call me up and say, you know, I took this one, it made me a little bit too nervous. I took this other one, it made me feel great. And then we tweak the program. That's the partnership that I have, and I love it. And they love it because I'm re-empowering people take care of their own brain, their own body, their own lives. And it's a lot of fun, too.
It's got to be really rewarding to see that happen with people and to have that light go on with them, too, to go, oh, my gosh, you know, this is exciting. I actually get to work with my doctor instead of just go in and sit there and be told what to do. And the thing is, too, is that most doctor visits, you have, like, what, 5 minutes with the doctor. You don't have very much time to really get into your medical history to really talk about what's going on with you. So the fact that you take the time is really, really important. And you treat the whole person, too. I love that about you. We have something very, very special, right, Dr. Cass? We have something very special for our listeners this hour that I'm very excited about offering to them because it's an incredible opportunity. You have something. It's called 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health. It's a digital download. And 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health. Why don't you, before I tell them what the crazy, amazing deal is, why don't you just give an overview of what this program is, this digital download, 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health. What is that? Let our listeners know.
Well, to begin with, 8 Weeks to Vibrant